Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1515. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me is I have a couple of people here, but one, the first one is Rihanna Manuel Pena. What's up, Ri?
Hello, over there, Danny. I'm here and ready to ask lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Also, from the Throwdown Show, the one and only Tony Polanco. What's up? What's up, Tony?
What's going on? What's going on, man? Back again. You know, we're going to have another great episode. Talk about this Soros.
Yeah, Soros. But quick thing, Tony. Have you gotten far in the game? Because I know it's a difficult game. Just want to throw it out there.
I have not. This is how hard this game is, bro. I finally got to the, to the second place after beating the boss. It took me 5 days to beat the boss, bro. The first boss. That's how hard this game is. So, you know, but you're a beast. You beat the game already. So
twice,
you know. Wow. See, look, you see this Ree flexing on here? It's crazy.
To be fair, the last two levels, not the levels, it's more the bosses. I had to change the difficulty. I was like, yo, this is too extreme. There's no way I could complete this. Like, there's no way. Now, I think now that I finished it twice, I think I could do it normal because I memorize the bosses. I memorize
yes.
them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're getting a little ahead of the audience here. Did you want to tell them what we're talking about?
Oh, we're talking about Soros. Sorry, but please
pull it back.
Listen,
when gamers talk, we talk, man.
We talk. Yeah. No, I just want to say, you know, thanks to PlayStation for sending us review copies early. And, you know, this is, and I've been mentioning this for a while. Tony knows about this. I've been mentioning this for a while that this is like my most anticipated game for this year for me because, you know, I love Returnal. To me, Returnal is one of the best games that came out this generation. I know it's not for everyone because this game is so difficult, but I feel like Soros is up there with Returnal, but at least there's a new entry where a new difficulty for people to, the newcomers could play the game easy, you know, instead of playing it super, super hard like Tony. But now, Tony, you ever change the difficulty at all while playing the game?
I had to, but it's interesting because it's not like the standard thing where it's like you put it on easy, put it on hard. It's really more of the, you know, I'm forgetting the name of it. It's like modifiers. It's like, for example, you could like deal extra damage to the enemies, but you also have to pick a perk that's negative. So it's like you gain less resources. So you always, it's like a meter. You guys will see it and you got to balance everything out. You can't just put like a bunch of perks. You got to put some negative stuff too, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of like that, you know, it's like you can have it a quote unquote a little easier, but not too easy because you got to sacrifice something.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ree, I know we were going back and forth of things to add in there. What was it that stood out to you the most about that section for you when you were seeing that me playing?
I have the benefit of backseat gaming while you played, Danny. So I'm sort of like the girlfriend review passenger in the scenario where I was watching you go through all the hard parts and I got to say, go here, over there, you missed something. And watching you play, I thought it was really, really cool how Smirk has introduced this new balancing mechanic where, let's say, you don't ever really need to use your, let's say, a parry mechanic. Like, you don't feel like you need to parry. You kind of get through every enemy you meet without using it, or it's just something that doesn't come naturally to you. You can make it so that parries are weaker. And then on the other side, you can make it so that when you get hit, you take less damage. And the trade-off between the different modifiers that Tony was describing can really tailor to your playstyle. And that exact scenario isn't necessarily something that Danny did during his playthrough, but it's just an example to show like you can make it fit for the way you naturally want to engage with the game to where it doesn't feel like you're taking too bad of a hit. Now, there are some that you turn off modifiers where, like Tony said, you don't earn a lot of money, which is tough because then you upgrade a lot slower, so you have to do a lot more grinding. So there's definitely some pain to that goes along with that ease of access. But I love that the developer wanted to do that, and they made it so that it's almost another mechanic in the game to challenge the players, right? It's an accessibility feature that doesn't take anything away from people who want to play, you know, straight bare bones. It actually adds more layers and more complexity and more texture to the game. And you can make it really hard too. You could put on a bunch of negative modifiers and then give yourself barely any good ones if you want more of a challenge. So I think it's cool because it doesn't only allow you to dial it back to your comfort level. It also allows you to dial it up and really challenge yourself.
Yeah, it was a thing where we were there for a while thinking, I were like, all right, what is the plus and minuses of this? Like, which one I should use? Because you can't do too much of either side. You have to keep it in the middle. It's like a number system that you have to figure out what to do. Because like say, there's some perks that will say negative 10. Okay, so now I got to go to the negative side. How can I balance it out and keep it in between 0 to 10? So it won't go over or won't go less, you know? So and that's something that I really enjoy about doing that. But I started using that towards the end of the game because it was just taking too long for me to complete it. The other levels, the other bosses, again, I was playing it so much that I had to memorize the way how they attack you. And it was similar to like Returnal. I had to do the same exact thing to remember how to play against the enemies and the bosses, that it took him a couple of days, but then I got it to like farther in the game after a while, you know what I'm saying? So
sometimes you had to sleep on it. Like you had to leave and come back, and then like the first run back, you get it like that. Like it's no big deal just because you needed it to go into your long-term memory banks.
It was draining. Because your mind is working on it as you're sleeping, you know?
It was draining as hell. After a while, like... I actually, like, I'm having a drink. I'm like, yo, I can't. I got to turn it off. Like, I needed a break. And then when I come back, I beat the boss. I'm like, wait, what? Because I was so refreshed. It took me a while to come back. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But it was, there's a lot of things in there that reminds me a lot of Returnal. Like the play style, when the enemies shoot at you with these balls, whatever, like
the projectiles,
projectiles. There's blue, there's yellow, there's red, and it's very similar to Returnal when it comes to that stuff, you know. But there's a couple new things, especially with the difficulty settings is pretty new, and I think it was very smart how they did that. Some of the weapons are actually kind of new in a way. Everything else, it reminded me a lot of Returnal. Do you agree with that, Tony?
Yeah, I do. This is why I jokingly call the game He-ternal, because it's basically Returnal with a guy. You know, it's like, to me, I'm like, it was the exact same type of game, you know, but I do like all that stuff they add in there that kind of give you like an extra shot. But at the same time, you know, if you're a punk like me, those, you know, all that extra stuff doesn't matter because it's looking at bro, I at least got to the third boss in Returnal, right? This one, I can't even get through it, but I do appreciate stuff with the mechanics. But I wanted to ask you guys, because the one thing that really stood out to me was like, oh, wait, there's other people in this game you could talk to. Because in Returnal, you were just by yourself, basically. So what did you guys think about that part? Like the fact that you have a crew there, and did you feel like connected to them as the story went on?
I think at first I was like, I'm not bashing the story or anything. Like, I feel like there was moments, I feel like it was too long of a drag, but like I really wanted to know, like, okay, what's going on here? And it's similar to Returnal, but Returnal, you're by yourself and you're discovering things, like that makes more sense. But having people there, I think I was expecting information to come in a lot quicker compared to Returnal, because you're by yourself. And I think having it like that, like taking it so long, it felt like a drag. Like I think the performance is really, really good. Like the main character, even the character you get to meet in the game. But that was the only part, the negative part was that. Like, I felt it was just too much of that. I still had questions. I'm like, wait, what's going on here, you know?
I think for the characters in Sorrows, they're really interesting. And they all have different reasons for being on this mission. And conflicting goals sometimes, and I always love that when there's like a crew of people like in deep space and like you can't really trust the motives of any one of them. And, you know, that creates some fun tension when you're not just, you know, shooting at bubbles or whatever you're doing when you're out in the world. I do agree with Danny. I think the voice acting was great. I think some of the direction and the pacing was a little drawn out. Like, it felt like some of the conversations dragged on a bit too long. Like, there were dramatic pauses that felt like they would make sense in TV or film. But when you're in a game, you want to run to the next thing while they're talking, you know? And so you don't want to stand there and wait for someone to deliver a really important line of story. And that made it feel like it was taking longer than you wanted it to. And then also, without getting into spoilers, of course, because it's actually pretty interesting what's going on, the story definitely offered a lot more questions than answers. Even when you get to the end, you're just like, wait, I missed something. But maybe we didn't. But maybe there's more to discover, because they really make it clear, even if you've rolled credits, there's more game to play. And in that way, I kind of like the tease out, because it reminds me a lot of Hades and Hades 2. Where there's always more to discover if you keep going back to the same places you've been with new knowledge and new skills. So on one hand, it did feel like it dragged quite a bit. But on the other hand, I think that was intentional. So mission accomplished, I guess. I don't know. What do you think about it as like early aimed?
Just in the early game, I do find it interesting, like, because I want to know more about these characters. But I guess, you know, they drag things out, so we'll see. But I do, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Because I really enjoy like story. Like, if you get a good story, I'm already hooked. Like, I could look past the gameplay. But the other thing I wanted to ask you guys was, like, what did you feel about the way the planet shifted, right? Because I found it interesting, because basically this is a roguelike. So every time you die and you come back, everything's mixed around. But I noticed that it's the same places that are shifted around. It's not just completely like random. And I like that, because it gave me some kind of grounding. It's like, okay, I know this area. I know where to go. Okay, that little thing's a little different, but not too much. So I appreciate that, because that's one of the things I don't like. I'll just be honest. I don't like roguelikes. I don't like the randomness. I don't like getting a bunch of like, you know, perks and then dying and you lose everything. But in this one, it seems like they're trying to ground things, at least when you come back to the world. It's like, okay, this first area you visit may not be how exactly I remember, but it's still the same. So what do you guys think of the way they did the procedurally generated environments?
I think it was fine with me. Like, here's the thing. After a while, you notice the same level, but like you said, different. But I play it so many times that I memorize, like, okay, this section is going to be like this, like, and I die and I come back and I see it's very different, but I'm familiar with the layout and how it is because I played it before. You get what I'm saying? But it doesn't feel the same. Sometimes some of these levels that they change, it might be more challenging than others. But again, it's all, you just got to keep on playing it until you fight the one that fits perfectly for you, you know?
Yeah, now, it's another almost thing, like passing out hands in a deck with a deck of cards, right? Like, it's not it's not an infinite number of combinations. Like, this isn't like AI generated or anything like that. They have, let's say, 30 different mini environments in each level. And in any one playthrough, you'll see five of them in different orders. So they do become familiar, even though they're mixed up and shuffled around. Mm-hmm. But you'll see, like, oh, I know when I drop from a platform and I see this in front of me, there's going to be a door over to my left and a bunch of enemies hiding up in the front in the right corner. Like, you start to recall this configuration because you've seen it before, maybe in a different spot in a previous run, but you know what to expect there. And even if you come back to it another time, the enemies might be a little different, but the layout is familiar. So I like what you said, Tony. It makes it feel more grounded, a little less like you're kind of out in the middle of the wilderness with absolutely zero reference point. Like, you do have a little bit more familiarity, which makes it a little less punishing, I think, because you feel like at least you know what to do a little bit more when you see the level after a certain number of runs. You're like, oh, okay, I know what this is going to be. And it's a little bit of a sigh of relief.
Yeah, and one more thing, too. They want you, the studio wants you to play this multiple times, because that's how you also unlock audio logs and like stuff that you find, like files that you'll find in some of these locations, including the main base that you always show up right at the beginning of the game. Every time you come back, you'll find something new, like, oh, wait, this audio log wasn't there, but it wasn't there before, but now it is there again. You know what I'm saying? So like, it changes, it's similar to when you play these levels too. I go And there might be an area where, oh, I know there's going to be a bunch of enemies, but when I die and I come back, I'm getting ready to shoot, but the enemies are not there in that location, you know, because it's always changing, you know. But they want you to continue playing a lot for you to unlock other things in there, you know. So that's why it says once you finish, there's more stuff to do. There's more things to discover, you know. So I think Returnal was similar to that too, I believe, you know. So like the more you play, the more you're going to discover about yourself, about your character, about the story.
Yeah, that's dope, man. And then what do you guys think about the enemy variety, without spoilers, obviously? Like, did you feel it was satisfying? Like, not only like the behavior of the enemies, but also their designs?
Yeah, I like it. Some of them remind me a lot of enemies of Returnal, some of these enemies. But there was quite a few where they had like some, you know, some like one of the dopest intros of like introducing the enemy. Like one of them will come out at the door, like, you know, this is like your first time meeting this character, like this enemy. You will see like a cinematic, like, oh, damn, it's about to get intense, you know? So I like that a lot. It was cool. Some enemies, especially later in the game, they're very, very challenging, that it took me a while to like figure out like, okay, what is the best weapon to use for me to attack and beat these enemies, and even the bosses too, you know? So like this one weapon that I really like, it's called a split. It's the split.
The smart split rounds.
Smart split round. That one.
I like those, yeah.
I like those. I like that one because it's like you shoot. It's like a automatic shooting, and it will target the enemies a lot easier.
Yeah, like homes in on them, yeah.
But here's a negative side of it too. With all these weapons, you can't get used to just one weapon throughout the game. Later in the game, you have to change your weapon that is even more powerful, like maybe like a shotgun for like closer attack and so on. Because that is going to help you to beat the enemies or even the boss a lot quicker. I was trying to use that weapon for all the way to the end, and it just didn't work out for me because I'm like, wait, I need to change it up. So the good thing is you could discover these weapons and you could do like a redraw and like select like new ones until you fight the right one that you want. Or you could just skip it and continue using your stuff. But after a while, it's not going to work out. You got to change it up here and there, you know? So,
yeah, I thought the enemy designs are really cool. I think it's neat that once you've played each level a few times, you could recognize, like, even by the sound of it, I'm like, oh, I know who this is, right? And you start to, like, adjust your approach. Like, I'm going to keep my distance because these people like to rush. These enemies like to rush.
Yes.
Or, you know, I can push a little bit closer because they're usually going to stay really stationary, and I just have to make sure I'm ready to dodge or shield. So I do think that enemies are really distinct, and their attack patterns are really unique for each one of them. And you start to recognize those patterns, like Danny was saying. And I think it's hilarious, though, you mentioned the weapon, Danny, because for the longest time, we were like, oh, yeah, smart split rounds. Why would you play with anything but this? And then you got to one mini boss and you're like, fuck, I need a shotgun. Like, this guy is in my face. I need to push him back. I need something with stagger to slow him down. Like, you really do have to adjust over time. And I think it's really cool that, you know, like with a lot of these roguelikes, you come across a pillar, you open it up, and it has a choice of a weapon or a choice of two things, a weapon and a power-up. And you can potentially redraw if you have, you know, redraw tokens. And there's this moment where it feels random, but you know there's some kind of logic behind it, because as soon as you need something, it'll pop up. And it's like four levels higher than what you've got. And you feel like, yes, I got the perfect thing. Let's fucking go. And it's such a hype moment for you to get the perfect draw right before you're about to face another boss. And I think they're really successful in making that reward feel worth it all of the times you don't get what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But Tony, what was your favorite weapon so far?
My favorite weapon is, I don't know if this is the exact name, but it was like an assault rifle. I love assault rifles in general in the game. So when you pair that with the homing like shots, I'm like, bro, I'm just cooking these dudes right now. Especially with the first boss, because he has like multiple nodes you got to hit. So it's like, it was easier to just, I'm just going to just shoot forward and the shots are going to find their way.
Yeah.
And right now I found a shotgun. I have mixed feelings about the shotgun because very powerful, but if you get close to these enemies, you're going to get cooked. So it's like I have this shotgun. I'm trying to stay back, but my shotgun doesn't do enough damage. So I'm like trying to find the perfect balance. But I did like how the game is very generous with the way it gives you constant power-ups as you keep going. And I do feel, it, with the exception of the shotgun, which I probably just need to find a better use for it, they all work very well. I even like the handguns. I typically don't like handguns in games because they're too slow, but this one, like, yo, it's fast and it's powerful. So, you know, as long as I had like a high level weapon, I was good. You know, I wish they kind of, you know, let you have like multiple weapons at the same time, but I get it, you know?
Yeah. And I know you mentioned about shotguns. Like, I didn't like the shotguns at first, I remember. Mm-hmm. But there's one that you're gonna eventually get it and upgrade later where you use that weapon and it basically freezes the enemies, like, because of electricity. Ooh. And they're
it'll stagger them. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
And that's when you could go and give them like the melee attack and they will die right away, you know? So watch, keep on playing and testing out the shotguns, because later you're going to find a couple like, man, this makes sense. So don't diss the shotgun all the way, you know, because I didn't at all in the beginning. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I was the same way. The other thing I wanted to ask you, because this was one of the coolest things I found about the game. It's like you're playing it and it's already pretty challenging and pretty scary. And then the eclipse happens and things get real. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Yo, what is happening? So what did you guys think about that? And also the corruption, because it's like you want to dodge enemies to begin with, but you really want to dodge them now, because when they hit you, basically they hit you with this like corruption and your health like can't go above a certain point, you know? Like, bro, I got to a point where it's like most of my quote unquote health was just corruption. I'm like, bruh,
and that's
can't
temporary
do
though. That is temporary.
It's temporary, yeah.
But it lasts too long. Like, it's like, okay,
it lasts mad long.
Yeah, I know it's gonna go away eventually, you know. But here's my advice. You could play the game like that without the eclipse. But there's going to be certain parts that you needed to unlock certain areas in order for you to go to the bosses, right? But it's good to unlock that as soon as possible. As soon as you see it, that you have the opportunity to get the eclipse, get that, because that's going to help you to get better weapons, better of everything. When you have it just a normal without the eclipse, you get less of that. So you'll get like upgrades for your weapons, but it's not as powerful as the other ones, you know? So like the corruption ones, you could play around with it. Like some of them are like really intense, like, okay, this is too much, but the good side of it, my power is going to be 10 plus.
The other side of that though, is that when you elect to turn the eclipse on, basically like the mechanic you're describing, Tony, and everything gets harder, difficulty turns up, environmental hazards are harder, and then the enemies drop more loot, which is great. But then your weapon upgrades or your weapon stashes that you find not only have pluses, but they also have drawbacks. And that doesn't happen without the eclipse. So during the eclipse, you might find something that's like plus 10 power, plus 10 shield. But then it's like, it also says anytime you get hit with corruption, it's like double. And you're like, well, is this worth it? And it forces you again to strike that balance. And I really do like this, the way Housemarque executed it. It's such an interesting additional layer of game mechanic where you have to basically say, what can I afford to take a hit on versus what do I really, really need? Like, it makes you prioritize every run a lot different than if you were just playing and just found better and better stuff with no drawbacks.
And also, a thing that's very helpful is to have the second life coming back, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you will get that once you upgrade. Once you upgrade your character and everything like that. And like, bro, for me, yo, I went all the way to the top of like upgrades and I still have stuff like I haven't unlocked because it's so much money and like it's so hard to like to get there. That's why, again, you need to play as much as you can, even if you go to the beginning, because there's going to be some areas in the beginning. You're like, wait a minute, how the hell I could go up there? Like, I can't
get there. Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, but later in the game, once you get those upgrades, you could go back to those areas. It's exactly with Returnal. You know, like, there's going to be some areas you can't get there yet, but later, because of the upgrades, now you could discover, like, oh, this new weapons, new old kinds of stuff, you know? So
it's like that what's that meme with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's kissing his fingers and like waving goodbye?
Yes. Yeah,
they're like, I'll be back for you as soon as I get another movement ability.
Yeah. Like I have the first level, I have 100%. Like I found everything because I upgraded so much. Now I'm free to check out all types of stuff in there, you know? So, yeah. Now my question I was going to ask you, Tony, what you thought about Raul, your main character in this game for you?
Yeah, he was cool. I need to ask you, I'm going to sound really ignorant right now, bro.
Yeah.
Like he's supposed to be somebody famous, right? Because everybody's making a big deal about this. Like, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, so that's the homie Raul. So he, like, we personally know him. He's an actor. He used to do content creation back in the days, you know, like YouTube and all that stuff, you know. But he started doing acting on Netflix and a couple of the movies, independent movies and all that stuff, you know. So I remember watching the State of Play, one of those State of Play videos there, and they show that I'm like, oh man, this is so cool. It's Raul. That's cool that he's gonna be in the game, you know. Like I even saw the reaction of all the people that we know from like Kind of Funny and all that. It was really cool to see that. I was very surprised. I think he did an amazing job with the voice acting. I think so. Voice acting and everything. And also the other characters, the other people that did that, they did a pretty good job with that too. It was more of the story, like we said earlier, the drag part, you know. But besides that, I think they did a phenomenal job with the voice acting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of the because you play on PS5 Pro, right? I believe.
No. I'm not, you know, as paid like you with the Pro. I only have the digital PlayStation 5, but it looked really good. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that.
Really good. I know there was a I don't know. Can you change it to like quality mode, performance mode? Because I didn't get to see that at all. I kept it exactly the same. The game looks phenomenal. Just with the base PlayStation 5. Right, Bree?
What do you think, Rio, the graphics and like the graphics and the art design and how it all worked together?
I thought it looked great. I thought the color was pretty good, and it's tough on games like this where they're just generally dark environments, right? But you could see everything very clearly. There were never any moments where you're like, is that a thing or is that a door? Am I supposed to go over here? Like, it was very obvious what you were supposed to interact with and how. I actually have a question for the two of you, since you two had the controllers in your hand. Mm-hmm. Was there any PlayStation controller integration that you remembered?
I think the shooting, right? It felt really good playing that.
Yeah. To be specific, every weapon has like a side, like an alternate fire, and you have to hold the like halfway down and you feel it when you hit it, you know, like you're not pressing it all the way down. It's like, oh, I hit it. Right. So I never had a point where I'm like, am I doing this right? You always felt it. So I like when the PlayStation controller does subtle things like that, where it's not just overt, where it's like, you know, in your face, like it's just very subtle. So that was really good. Instead of having, oh, here's another button we got to press, just hold the same one you've been holding. But yeah, I think the haptics in this are very smart, but not too crazy, you know, because like there's some games where like I play a session and I got to charge my controller because the haptics just killed the battery. And this one, you know, I still haven't charged from my controller yet, you know. Danny, you feel anything with the haptics?
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question about about the controller before I answer this. Because this is my first time playing this type of game. Because Returnal, I play on a PC. I didn't get to play on a PlayStation 5.
Okay.
So I was using the Xbox controller. You know, it played pretty good, right? But, you know, playing Sorrows, I felt like, wow, I should have played Returnal on a PlayStation 5. Like, it feels good playing with Sorrows with the controller. You know, now the only thing that I haven't noticed, because I had the sound of the controller all the way down, so I'm wondering, is there any sound effects or anything you will hear while you play the game with the controller, Tony?
Not a lot. Like, because there are some games that go ham. This one does a little bit. But nothing really stood out to me. But I do agree with you, like, because Returnal was another game that did really good with the haptics, you know? So, and this one does it. I would say it a little bit better, because the Returnal was a little bit over the top sometimes. Because, you know, it was like kind of a sort of launch game, so they had to just throw that stuff in your face. This one, I feel, does what Returnal did, just a little bit smarter.
But
it makes the game way more immersive, just having the controller doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could feel it. Every time you use a different weapon, you could tell, like, okay, this is going to feel very different with this, you know? So I really, really like that a lot. I really, really like that. Yeah, like, I really enjoyed Sorrows. I had a great time playing this game a lot, man. Look, I have like 33 hours, I believe, or 35. Wow. It's like something like that. But like the other night I was playing, I'm like, I'm going to go beat this boss again just to see. And I did it like nothing, right? And now what I want to do is discover other audio files and audio logs and all this kind of stuff. So, and also there's areas that I need to discover that I totally missed. So I'm just going to go back. Like I already did the first one. So I'm probably going to replay all the levels again now that I'm fully upgraded to see what type of things I could find in there, you know? So, and I might go back to the last two levels and put it just normal without the modifiers and all that. So to see if I could complete it without it, you know? So we'll see what happens.
You got this, bro.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you see yourself trying to finish this? Tony, or what?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep going for a little bit, and we'll see what happens. Again, I gave up on Returnal after a while. I'm like, okay, like this is I can't hang. You know, I'm willing to admit that. I'll keep giving this a try, but I do feel that if you really want like a challenging game, that's still fair. Definitely check this one out. I think House Mark did another phenomenal job, man. So even though these aren't my type of games, I love that this studio exists and they're doing their own thing like this. It's so cool.
Yeah, and I think personally for me, and we'll love to hear what Ree has to say about this, but, you know, for me, I really, really love Returnal. Yes, it's a difficult game. It's not for everyone, right? But I think with this one, a lot of new people are going to try it for the first time because now they can make the game a lot easier. And more importantly, it's a new IP, which a lot of us are complaining, oh, it's the same game every year or whatever, you know. So seeing there's a new IP, we need to support these type of games so we can see more of that in the future. Like, let these studios take a risk and try something new and different, you know. So, like, I really enjoy this game a lot. Like, I highly, highly recommend it for people to get this game for PS5. And I hope eventually the release is on PC, you know, because I think this game is special, man. I think the studio, Housemarque in general, is a very... Yes. Special studio, you know. So Ree, want to say anything else?
Yeah,
about it?
I mean, I think Housemark has another winner on their hands, right? Like they knocked it out of the park with Returnal, and this is even better, and I think even more approachable for people who maybe bounced off of the previous installment because the difficulty was so high. And not only do they make it approachable, they make it interesting and in how to tweak it for yourself, right? And it's not just click down to easy mode or baby has baby mode. It's like there's a couple things that are a little hot for me, but a couple things I could take a little bit more challenge on, and you balance it for yourself. And I think that's a really great way to do it and make it more interesting for people who were bored and wanted harder instead of easier, right? So it makes it a better experience for everyone. Usually accessibility features do that in general, and I think their spin on it is really cool and really unique to them. And yeah, production quality is way up there. It's super beautiful. It performed well. You didn't have any crashes or major bugs
Zero.
The whole time.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
The level design's really easy. Not easy. It's clear to understand. You know where you're supposed to go. Maybe not easy to get there. But yeah, like it's a really straightforward marquee single player game. It's Sony's bread and butter. And like you said, Danny, it would only benefit from more people being able to play it. So hopefully the PC folks get a chance to take a crack at this one, because it is a really great game. And it's one that you shouldn't miss if you like shooters, if you like single player games, if you like roguelikes. There's something for a lot of different people here.
Yeah. And I know Ree mentioned this to me multiple times when I was playing. Use your shield. Use your parry.
Yeah,
but here's the But here's the thing. Like I was playing it so good without it that I'm like, I don't need it.
The flex right here. The flex.
Here's the butt. I think it's in the early games, early in the game, you don't need it. But man, later in the game, you have no choice but to use that.
Oh wow.
Because this is so hard without it. So hard. Like I had to like mentally prepare myself, like I have to use this because I got used to not using it at all. And Ree was the one saying to me the whole time, use it, just use it. But I'm like, I don't really need it. Like it's not, you know. But yeah, later in the game, 100%. Get ready.
Okay, that's good to know, because I like the shield, I never use that. I'll be real. I didn't know there was a parry in the game, bro. Oh, like I just learned there was like a quick reload. I'm like, what?
You might not get out of gotten to that enemy yet. There's one that.
Oh. Okay.
Introduces the necessity of a parry.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I got to get in that sick, you know, mind, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a couple weapons that I discovered later in the game. I'm like, I don't like this, man. I used it once. I'm like, never again.
Yeah, like the game shotgun. Has some surprises for you towards the end. It doesn't just rest on what you've already acquired. Like Danny said, you get some new movement abilities to upgrade, and then a couple guns you've never seen before, like even right up until the end, which is pretty
cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, but Tony, thank you so much, man. I love bringing Tony on the show. Like when it's like one of those like really unique,
yes,
special moments, like, you know, a game like this. You know, hopefully we could do this again in the future where more of the games.
There's a lot more games coming. There's a lot more games coming this year. This year we've been cooking, man. But yeah, Danny, thank you so much for having me on. And I really loved having Rion. You know, it's cool just having us three banter and stuff. So
yeah,
dope stuff, man.
What's new with Throwdown Show? Anything that's coming up you'd like to promote? Or Tom's Guide. Tom's Guide too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out Tom's Guide. I got a bunch of hardware. I'm reviewing a bunch of gaming laptops. Unfortunately, I can't play Sorrows on any of the gaming laptops yet. You know, yeah. I also have a review, but I can't actually wait. Yeah, I'm going to have a op-ed on Sorrows. I haven't finished it yet, obviously. And I am reviewing something cool that I can't talk about yet. You know how that goes. So lots of game reviews, lots of stuff for me. And then for Throwdown, we're doing our usual covering stuff. We will definitely be talking about Sorrows because our fans are very interested in this game. And you could also check out Throwdown on Thursdays and Sundays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Twitch and YouTube. And, you know, Thursday is a regular show. We just talk about the news of the week. Sundays where we answer the fan questions. That one get pretty interesting when some of these questions like, well, I never thought about that, you know? So yeah, man, again, thank you for having me on. This was a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure we're going to be together again, talk about another big game. Cause there's a lot of games coming out this year,
games,
bro.
A lot of games. Hopefully we could do something with GTA. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see if we get it earlier or not. We'll see. You never know.
Yo, and I'm going to say it right now. Maybe we can get Paris on me. He keeps ducking me, man.
I know, right? I know, right? We'll see. We'll see. But Tony, thanks so much for joining, man. And everyone, make sure to go to GamerTagRadio.com, listen to our past episodes, and also hit us up, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Ree, thank you for joining us. Also, you want to say anything else before we wrap it up?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, big news over on the Dana and Rihanna show. Go check it out.
Oh, yeah, we're having a baby boy. Boy. Sorry, spoilers.
Congrats, guys.
Right to it. Don't click and watch it, though.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, guys, until next time. We're out. Bye.
Bye.